Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast, and this is a bit of a milestone for us. We are doing an experiment, including a friend and colleague of mine, Brett Small, in the show.
The Mr. Beacon Ambient IoT podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, bringing intelligence to every single thing.
Brett, welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast. Partly as an interviewee, but primarily as a co-host.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Well, so why two people? The reason is we want to start covering news. So it is really challenging to keep up with everything that's going on in the IoT industry, especially this ambient section that we are really focused on. So we're going to give this a trial for a few weeks. We'll see how it goes. Give us your feedback. Before we launch into our news coverage, I just want to say a few words about what we're going to focus on versus what all the other excellent IoT podcasts focus on. Stacey on our IoT is one of my favorites, and we're not going to be competing with what she does. Our focus is ambient IoT, and by that we define ambient IoT as technology that is super low cost, and therefore it can be ambient. It can be everywhere. Technologies that stories and technologies that are to do with connecting to the cloud, everyday things as opposed to expensive things. So we will prioritize news where the sensors are small. If they're paper thin, all the better. If they're low cost, that's good. And part of what we think of as ambient IoT is something that spans the whole life of a product. So the enterprise bit, which is the manufacturing, and the consumer bit, which is when you use it. So our view of ambient IoT is that the intelligence, connectivity, and the sensing span the entire life cycle. And that's where we get the real benefit rather than these kind of stovepipe applications. So we're interested in news about the progress towards ubiquity and ultimately anything where the connections are driving us not to millions, but to billions and to trillions. So, Brett, that's my definition of ambient IoT. Does that make sense to you? Have you got anything you want to add to that?
I think that absolutely makes a lot of sense. I think the one or the two additional components that that I might peripherally add would be that, as Steve mentioned, part of the entire life cycle is placing us well within the circular economy of greater reuse of all assets, and whether those are tags or whether those are reusable returnable containers or whatever kinds of things those are that we're keeping track of. And the other thing is that some people kind of think as the world of IoT is being divided between kind of enterprise or to consumer. I think as Steve explained, we're really focused on both. As there are use cases and applicability to the kinds of technology that Steve was talking about with regards to very low-cost items, very easily maintained items, items that can be reused. And we see those kinds of use cases in both the consumer as well as the enterprise space. So we'll be covering both of those realms in this segment.
Very good. And Brett, you posed a question to me when we started this about, well, what's our position going to be? We both work for Wiliot. Is there going to be any bias? And that was a really good question. It's a very tough one. And, you know, from my perspective, we are going to try and be unbiased. But the reality is we will be. Working at Wiliot, we have a perspective on ambient IoT, which is being, you know, it's actually a pretty good perspective with some really amazing deployments, hundreds of millions, billions of these postage stamp computers. And we feel like our product is right at the vanguard of ambient IoT. But what I would say is we pledge to cover competitive products in a positive way. We want a platform. We believe that it's in everyone's interest to move the industry forward, to build this category. And there is no silver bullet. Or maybe to move away from weaponry, you need hammers, you need screwdrivers, you need saws. And so, you know, we're definitely going to try and steer clear of the blind evangelism that doesn't, that assumes that what Wiliot does is the every solution and the only solution. And to that end, actually, one of your stories is about a competitive technology. But before we get into the news, last thing, we should introduce you. Brett, can you give us a quick overview and tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks. Yes. So I my world, my professional world, started in manufacturing. I was one of the people that wore a bunny suit inside of a semiconductor manufacturing facility in Dallas, Texas, for Texas Instruments for nearly 10 years after I completed my master's degree. And at that point in time, I kind of decided that being seen enough of clean rooms and bunny suits, and I became involved in kind of enterprise software sales, selling primarily what was back then called statistical process control, now would probably be called business analytics in terms of looking at manufacturing data, how to optimize yield and optimize throughput for semiconductor wafer manufacturing. And when I went to work for an enterprise software company, I went to work for an MES company that acquired 15 or 20 companies during the acquisition phase at that point in time. And that kind of melded into a couple of different places, working for a number of different great people that I learned about technical sales, technical presentation. And I landed after a couple of stints at a company called AeroScout, which was one of the original kind of, we used to refer to as, it was IoT before IoT was cool. It was one of the original Wi-Fi based RTLS companies, did a lot of work in healthcare, did a lot of work in manufacturing, as Cisco and other access point vendors were kind of carpeting the planet with regards to Wi-Fi access points. We sold small little devices that are now deemed expensive. Back then, were in the $75 to $95 range to keep track of things as they moved around inside. We used to refer to it as GPS for indoors, keeping track of assets, knowing where they were, monitoring them, making sure that you had enough of them and not too many of them. That kind of was a 8 or 10 year experience, fantastic experience. I got to grow a worldwide team. That company got acquired by Stanley Healthcare, a division of Stanley Black & Decker. It's subsequently been sold to Securitas. And when that occurred a year or so later, I went to work for the BLE Group. Blue Vision was the name of the company, had recently been acquired by HID at that point in time. So I got to learn about a new technology that was doing similar things to what AeroScout was doing, but at a half or a third of the price point with regards to both infrastructure as well as tag cost. So that was an interesting little startup inside of a much larger corporation. And from that, I was there for about 5 or 6 years, kind of organized things from a small company into kind of a larger company with regards to the sales process and the technical aspects of selling the BLE solution inside of a much larger kind of commodity company, which HID and on balances. And Steve and I had kind of worked together as cohorts on different sides of the of different companies. And when I was ready to make the next change in my career, I was able to join Wiliot. I've been there for now all of about 3.5 months. It's been a great environment, fantastic technology, and keeping with the theme of less expensive, again, the price has dropped by now an order of magnitude or more with regards to the infrastructure and the tags themselves. So enabling in a whole new realm of use cases that weren't possible with either the BLE technology or in the Wi-Fi technology. So I'm waxing poetically, Steve, so I'll stop now, but that's a little bit of the background of how I got here.
Wonderful. And then what is your day job at Wiliot?
So my day job at Wiliot is primarily to deal with the technical analysts that that cover the space. As Steve mentioned in the intro, the world of ambient IoT is still kind of a new term. The folks that represent Gartner and ABI Research and IDC and other organizations are still learning about it. So my job is basically to be a little bit of an evangelist with regards to the kinds of things that we are accomplishing for customers and explaining what our technology does. It's not a fix-all widget, but to explain the kind of the parameter space around which the Wiliot solution provides a good solution in supply chain management and in healthcare and in manufacturing and a lot of places that traditionally have been underserved by kind of passive RFID or unserved with regards to no technology really fitting the use case and the ROI requirements. So that's what I spend most of my days doing.
Excellent. So I think that will give some good opportunities to see interesting things on your radar and bring it up to this group. We're still going to continue with the Mr. Beacon hallmark, in-depth interviews, getting to know important companies, drilling into key issues and technologies that is the backbone of the podcast. But we'll have this experiment for a little bit on the news, and if you like it, we'll continue it. So let's get on with it. Brett, what you own this new segment. What have we got planned to cover?
Okay. Well, today, as you know, Steve, since you're on the floor at CES for the last several days and will be for the next several days, we'll talk about a couple of the things there. There have been a couple of product releases. I was noticing today in the news several stories relating to kind of connected agriculture or the IoT of agriculture, relating to various different components from raising to storage to consumption. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of those, talk a little bit about the highlights of some healthcare IoT, probably one of the areas that's the largest segment of and maybe oldest section of IoT connectivity, at least in the U.S., some kind of novel product releases that I've seen in the news, and then some supply chain trends that a couple of research organizations are starting to put together as key components of what to look for.
Excellent. And you know, one of those stories is the Lufthansa Sodak pod group announcement, which is billed as the first commercial smart label tracking device, which is fighting talk, because I would say that Wiliot is also got something very similar, but what they're doing is different, and so we'll drill into that. But before we get into the CES stuff, then we discussed giving you an update on standards. And those of you who are regulars to Mr. Beacon, Ambient IoT, we'll have heard the interview with Amahai, who's our the Wiliot representative on 3GPP, and he gave us an update end of last year, final couple of weeks in September, about the latest of what's been going on with 3GPP. So I want to dive into that because there's progress, which is important progress. And For those of you who don't know, 3GPP, they're the industry group that defines what's going to be in the 5G and 6G standards. And they have a structured multi-layer approach to this. So they have a services and systems architecture stream, which looks at requirements and architecture, security, and all that sort of stuff. There's a RAN group, Radio Access Network group, that follows on and gets into the details. And then there's a core network and terminals group that basically is involved in the handoff of the standards as they start to mature. So it's a bit like an assembly line. The assembly line that we're interested in is going into something called Release 19. So 5G, 4G, 3G, in the future 6G are all kind of marketing terms. The really definitive chapters in this standard are the releases. And so Release 9 is basically the bit that's being worked on now. There's a technical report. It's about to finish. The technical specification will have been wrapped up. It was scheduled to wrap up on December the 23rd. So there aren't technical details in this, but what it does do is it covers the use cases and some of the architectural considerations that are going to be manifested in the standard coming to a phone near you. Basically, there's been voting, there's been agreement, the pledge to include ambient IoT into this telco standard, that's all gone through. And a number of use cases were voted on and approved. One that Williot put forward was around the farm-to-store tracking of reusable transport items or plastic crates. And those of you that have followed us will know that there's some really very practical benefits for putting these crates that in the past have been dumb online. They're kind of expensive. There's all sorts of environmental benefits to them, but they're expensive. So if you can track them, then you can allow yourself to run a pool of crates with maybe 30% less crates. So it makes the whole reusable, sustainable packaging are more viable by tracking it, and you can also stop shrink, and you can start looking at the condition of what's in the crates. So that was outlined, voted on, and approved. But there were also other submissions from Qualcomm, from Apple, from others, and Qualcomm proposed some really interesting use cases around asset tracking and finding remote lost items. So the kind of asset tracking that goes on with products that go onto into through the shipping system, planes, trains, automobiles, finding remote lost items, kind of a Find My standard that goes beyond the proprietary standards of what's offered. Apple was interested in and proposed and was there was acceptance of a concept around privacy, being able to activate and deactivate and then reactivate ambient IoT tags. So there's many reasons why you'd want to turn these tags on and off. Maybe people for privacy reasons don't want something to be tracked. But if it's on a product that you want to return to a store, then maybe that's a reason for reactivating it. And then additional use cases that were passed through this kind of one of the first stages of the standards process were around agriculture monitoring plants and cattle, automobile manufacturing. It's expensive to make cars, tracking the parts and tools, indoor positioning, ambient IoT for light switches, and some fundamental inventory use cases as well. So that is the that's what went into the standard, and I have to say I'm really excited by the work that's going in there. What do you think?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think that there's a lot of momentum that's now actually building around this ambient IoT term, I guess originally coined by 3GPP. And I, like you, am and quite enthused that making fast progress. I think that this harbors a almost infrastructureless kind of capability that's going to be available probably sooner than we know it with regards to being able to track and trace around the globe.
Yeah. So final thing is kind of timelines. So this process, the kind of the architecture process, will continue over the next couple of years. There'll be the work on the radio access network is going to start this year, and the whole thing should wrap up towards the end of 2025. So this is not something that's going to happen overnight, but of course, ambient IoT is available today. The Bluetooth SIG is already has a protocol which we're using and which many other companies are using. IEEE has a role there, looking at this stuff. Wi-Fi has been used, as Brett, you talked about in when you were talking about the history, but it's really interesting to see IEEE's focus on this area, and they have something called AMP. So their work stream is it's not a done deal, but the AMP standard, as they're calling it now, is being worked on by the part of IEEE that focuses on the 802.11 communication standards. So that's it on the standards update. What's next for us to talk about, Brett?
Great. I think the next thing we talked about was perhaps a little bit of a highlight about one of the product announcements, of many product announcements at CES, from the Pod, Sodak, and Lufthansa joint press release on what they describe as the quote-unquote first commercial smart label tracking device at CES. My understanding of this, although I've not yet seen it, is that it's a small printed battery that is reusable, lifespan of 6 to 9 months, that can be attached to a package, slightly thicker, I guess, than several sheets of paper, maybe thick cardboard, that will transmit some pieces of information, apparently temperature, maybe even light sensitivity, with regards to where the package is. So similar to maybe an AirPod, but at a much smaller price point and at a much tinier size.
I love that profile. I love the size. I'm just looking at the picture of it, and they activate it by you actually cut a corner off of the tag, and that's the thing that turns it on, which I think is beautiful. And for those of you that are interested in some of the people behind this, we actually had Sodak on the Mr. Beacon podcast. Ollie is one of the founders, one of the leaders there, and it's a really amazing company. They focus on sustainability, circular economy applications, and we've actually found ourselves working with them, partly as a result of the conversations that we started on this show. But I think this is really promising.
Excellent. So other stories in the news, I was looking through several, and it seems like, as has always been the case, agriculture or the IoT of agriculture is gaining more traction as the technology price points become lower. And there are kind of three that I sort of thought worked hand in hand. There's a joint announcement between Osram and Energys on collaborating to develop low-cost agricultural sensors for basically being able to grow plants more effectively and being able to monitor them through soil condition, through humidity, through water levels to optimize output of crops, soybeans, corn, grain, etc., which kind of goes into a second story. Global Star has recently signed a commercial agreement with Y Agro to supply IoT transmitters for ag tech applications. What these are is what are sometimes in the field called silo stacks. There are very large piles, basically, of crops. Sometimes it's silage, sometimes it's harvested grain that are stored outside and covered with giant plastic 4 or 5 millimeter thick sheets and can be stored in outside ambient temperatures, even in freezing cold, because for the most part, they age well in those conditions. But if the humidity is not right or the temperature is not right under the plastic, you can have spoilage of the produce. So this kind of ingenious sensor punches through that plastic and can monitor the temperature, the humidity of the actual stored grain or the stored silage itself, primarily for large farms. Today, farmers will go out and inspect every week, every other week or so with regards to the conditions. This allows that to be done automatically and even remotely. And then the third story kind of in the series of agriculture IoT is one where scientists plan to substantially reduce livestock diseases by being able to track cattle. Today, of course, they're tracked with ear tags or some sort of a passive or barcode, but 5G IoT devices embedded inside of those ear tags. So they would know what cattle were in proximity to what other cattle, which is one of the mechanisms by which foot and mouth, hoof and mouth disease spreads, other communicable diseases amongst livestock. So again, a way to be able to monitor and to control cattle in the field generally or inside of warehouses, livestock warehouses with regards to disease spread. So those I thought made kind of a nice tritium of three different stories all related to IoT and agriculture and its application today.
Very nice. And I think this is a great example of starting to connect at the beginning of the life cycle of a product. Once you start doing that, then you can start to continue the traceability all the way to the consumer and get a handle on recalls and people understanding the provenance. And I, as a devout carnivore, I've always wanted to be able to select meat that I know that the animal's been looked after well. So I'm kind of optimistic and hopeful that if we start to get visibility on the supply chain back to the farm, then those of us that feel like we should be vegetarians but just can't bring ourselves to do it can at least have the satisfaction of knowing that whatever we've ate has had a decent life before it ended up on our plate. All right. So what's next then, Brett?
So just two quick other things on the floor at CES that I saw were interesting. Actually, before that, going from newest applications of IoT in agriculture to one of the more established, Healthcare IoT continues to grow by leaps and bounds. Most recent estimate is over 31 million USA folks had some sort of a connected healthcare experience last year, whether that was a video with a doctor during COVID, whether that was an interaction based upon a machine. A very large percentage of those are sleep apnea machines that are connected to a network. Typically, insurance companies only will reimburse for sleep apnea machines if they can prove that their covered people are actually using them. So that's why it's a strong ROI with regards to using that. So healthcare IoT continues to grow. Basically, one out of 10 Americans now have some component of that that they used in 2022. Related to that, a new feature at the safest car seat, Baby Arc, a new company released a product at the CES show. It kind of makes sense. The in-car seats have been improved over the last decade substantially in almost every sort of passenger car around the globe, but car seats for babies really haven't done anything in the last 10 years. So this is a new look at how to be able to monitor whether the baby's in the seat, whether the seat is properly installed, heaven forbid the baby's left inside the car, all sorts of technology enhancements around the IoT baby seat, as Baby Arc is calling it.
Excellent.
And then finally, around the IoT supply chains, as is always the case at the end of the year, various different organizations look at five top key technologies, eight top key technologies. Looking at supply chain is no different. Looking at this list from at least looking at how supply chain is being transformed, IoT, track and trace in the top three in several different organizations' list as key features improving the supply chain by the use of IoT. And that's all the news this week. For the links of each of these news stories, please see our website, and you can find more detail about any of them.
Brett, thanks for putting the time in to do the thing that many of us don't have the time to do, and helping us keep track of things. Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you. This has been a great time. Thanks, guys.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.